nếu như
globalization to a large extent is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules, and yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
When we travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half, we have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you see, what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Svako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polovni. Točno o poldan.
Nigerija je vodilna proizvajalka nafte na Afriški celini in osma največja na svetu. Kljub več kot pol stoletja dolgi tradiciji črpanja nafte v delti reke Niger, to področje zakonsko še vedno ni zadovoljivo urejeno, hkrati pa se tudi že veljavni predpisi ne upoštevajo. Posledica je ekološka katastrofa, ki življenja prebivalcev hromi že desetletja. Najbolj na udaru je območje Ogoniland. Nekoč poraslo z mangrovami in bogato z ribami, je to območje zdaj opustošeno in nerodovitno. Za ilustracijo, v zadnjih desetletjih se je v naravo na tem področju izteklo dvakrat več nafte kot ob eksploziji na naftni ploščadi British Petroleuma v Mehiškem zalivu. Štirje prebivalci Ogonilanda so se zato odločili, da bodo tožili korporacijo Shell, ki upravlja največ črpališč nafte in naftovodov v Nigeriji. Potem, ko na nigerijskih sodiščih s svojimi obtožbami niso bili uspešni, zdaj Shell oziroma njegovo nizozemsko vejo, Royal Dutch Shell, ki deluje v Nigeriji, tožijo še na nizozemskih sodiščih. Razsodbo lahko pričakujemo v začetku naslednjega leta. O sami obtožbi in tudi o trenutnem stanju in aktualnih problemih v Ogonilandu smo govorili z Gertom Ritzmo, aktivistom iz agencije Friends of the Earth. Nizozemska veja te nevladne organizacije namreč pomaga tožečim prebivalcem Ogonilanda pri financiranju tožbe in zbiranju dokaznega materiala v procesu proti Royal Dutch Shellu. Kaj so tiste glavne točke obtožnice proti korporaciji Shell?
Well, there are three charges, three things that we as Friends of the Earth Netherlands and four Nigerian farmers are demanding from Shell in court in the Netherlands. The first demand is that Shell will repair its existing infrastructure and in that way ensure that there will be no further leakages in the future. Because many of the problems are caused by poor maintenance of equipment, and we say that they should maintain their equipment in the pipelines and other equipment in the same state as they do it here in Netherlands. So that's the first one. The second one is that the pollution which has been caused by leakages, spills from oil pipelines that are belonging to Shell should be cleaned. So it's clean up the area and restore the environment. And the third demand is that the farmers that have suffered from losses because of the oil pollution, they haven't been able to farm and fish for 5 years now. This damage has to be repaid and repaired by Shell, and that means they have to give financial compensation to the farmers. So it's basically three things. It's act up, clean up, pay up.
Ali v primeru sodbe v korist vaščanov pričakujete več sodnih procesov proti korporacijam odgovornim za onesnaževanje? Podobno se namreč dogaja po vsem svetu.
I think it would definitely contribute to more cases. We already see this type of cases in the United States for many years. There, people from different continents, such as from South Africa, have taken companies to court in the US, and in several cases have been successfully claiming damage. So it's a trend already existing for a longer time in the United States, but now this is also coming to Europe, and that is the new thing. That our case in the Netherlands against Shell is the first case on the European continent where a European company is taken to a European court for violating regulations outside of Europe. And that is the novelty, the new thing about this case. And of course, if we are successful, we can expect that more claims will follow.
Kaj pa je konkretna škoda, ki so jo te štirje vaščani utrpeli zaradi Shella? Zakaj so na sodiščih ravno oni?
Okay, well, the first thing is, you know, these are four farmers, but the number of people in Nigeria who are affected is much bigger. In the area where the pollution is, around 30 million people are living, and most of those people are somehow affected by the oil pollution, either by oil spills or by the gases that come from burning oil. So, I mean, it's not an exaggeration to say that this is the biggest oil disaster ever happened in human history. The only thing is, it has happened over a long period, 50 years, and it's going with small steps. Every year there is a 250 spills in Nigeria, but altogether these spills over all these years have caused the pollution twice as big, at least, as the pollution that happened in the Gulf of Mexico in 2010 as a result of a leakage in the BP platform. So, and everybody knows this BP disaster, is the damage there was 30-40 billion. So we estimate altogether in the Niger Delta, you're talking about tens of billions of euros in damage, maybe even 100 billion euro. And now, why are only four farmers taking the case to court? Well, that's because this is how the Dutch system works. It has to be individual cases. We cannot claim on behalf of a wider group, as for example is possible in the United Kingdom. However, if these four farmers would win the case, it would be much easier for other people to make similar claims, because then they can point to, you know, this verdict. So yes, it's four farmers, but there's a lot more behind those four farmers. You can say it's millions of people's, billions of dollars and euros in damages. And if you look at particular, you know, what is the impact on the lives of these farmers, and that's very big. They are depending on fishing and farming, and because of the oil spill, this is simply not possible anymore. There is no fish in their rivers, because it's completely polluted, and their land is also soaked with oil, which is not cleaned up by Shell, and therefore they cannot grow any crops anymore. So this situation is already lasting for at least 5 years. So all these years they haven't been able to make an income, and even some of them had to move because it was so unhealthy to live in those areas. So yeah, this is the impact. Basically means they are out of business.
Ste tem štirim vaščanom podporo nudili tudi, ko so bili s podobnimi obtožbami na račun Shella neuspešni na nigerijskih sodiščih?
Yes, we have a partner organization in Nigeria called Environmental Rights Action. They are a very big organization that is specialized in helping people to take companies to court. And some cases have been successful in Nigeria, but others have not been successful. the problem is that once you have a conviction in a country like Nigeria, it's very difficult to execute the ruling. So there's a lot of corruption, and even if you win in court, the company has other means to escape from really paying for the damage. And that's why, one of the reasons why we have decided to take this case now to the Netherlands, which is unique, because we hope that here Shell will not be able to escape so easily the courts.
Kaj pa je bil uradni razlog, da Shell v Nigeriji ni bil obsojen? Sodišče je verjetno pojasnilo svojo izbiro.
Well, sometimes it's really difficult for those small farmers to come up with all the evidence. I mean, also in a Nigerian court, you would need a lot of research. You would need to do, for example, research in the soil, and that is not always possible for a small farmer to conduct such research. So that's why we are backing them up, because, well, at least we have some expertise on oil pollution, and we hope that by doing good research, by coming up with solid data, we can convince the court that this is really Shell's mistake and it's Shell's responsibility to clean up the polluted area.
Nigerijska vlada in Shell sta letos sicer že obljubili, da bosta naredili vse, kar je v njunih močeh, da očistita onesnaženi Ogoniland. Je kakšen napredek že viden?
No, so far we have not seen any change on the ground. There was a report from the United Nations last year, which we welcomed, because the report is very good. It says, among other things, Shell has not properly cleaned up the pollution so far, and it also recommends a funds of $1 billion to start the cleaning up. But so far, nobody has paid to these funds. And UN said the government and the oil companies have to pay, and they haven't paid a cent so far. So this is, that's the most easy step they can do. I mean, a company like Shell makes a profit annually of around 30 billion US dollars. So it shouldn't be a problem for them to pay into these funds. But so far, they have not done that. And so we think there has not been made any steps towards implementation of the United Nations report, whatever the government and Shell says.
V poročilu Združenih narodov je bil kot eden glavnih problemov izpostavljeno sežiganje odpadne nafte, ki nastane pri rafiniranju. Obstajajo namreč tudi za okolje manj obremenjujoči postopki, ki pa so dražji in jih zato Shell ne prakticira.
Well, some steps have been made, but it's definitely not enough. I mean, there is massive burning of gas which is associated with oil production. It's a huge problem. It's also recognized by the oil companies, by the Nigerian government. It's illegal, but it continues to happen. If you fly over Nigeria, or even if you look with satellite from the sky, from high up above the planet, you can see Nigeria has around 100 spots, lights, and these are these big flares burning day and night. It's very damaging for the environment. It's very damaging for the people who live around, and these flames should be put out as soon as possible. It's illegal, and it's a big waste of useful gas. So there have been some steps by Shell, but not far enough.
Kako pa odgovarjate na Shellove očitke, da je glavni razlog za velika razlitja predvsem kraja nafte iz naftovodov in sabotaža? Nigerijska vlada pravi, da se v naftovodih letno na ta način izgubi kar 150 tisoč sočkov nafte.
Well, it's true that there is a lot of oil theft and sabotage. We recognize that's not contested. However, we feel that Shell and the government should do more to protect the pipelines to avoid that from happening, that they're not doing enough. And secondly, if the oil leaks after a theft or sabotage, it's the task of the oil company to clean it up. And it's not an excuse to say, well, this has been caused by sabotage, so we will just not clean it. Legally, the company is bound to clean up whatever the cause was. And the reason for that is that you can simply not let the local population suffer because somebody steals the oil. This oil is usually not stolen by the small man. It's big organized crime. And, well, the oil companies and the government should take more action against these criminals. And also they should protect the ordinary people from this type of impact.
Kakšen pa je odnos vlade do Shella? Kljub temu, da očitno uničujejo nigerijsko naravo, ta industrija državi prinese tudi veliko denarja.
Well, for us the most important thing is clean up. So Shell should clean up the pollution and so the farmers can farm again, the fishermen can fish again and the children will have again clean drinking water. This is the most important demand, restoration of the environment. Then the second thing is restoring the infrastructure in a good state, so there will not be again new leakages. This means, you know, replacing old pipelines. Some are more than 40 years old. They don't meet any international standards. So, and then the third thing is, of course, the farmers and the people who have not been able to make an income because of this pollution should, of course, be properly compensated, like, for example, also happened in the Gulf of Mexico in the United States. So why not compensate also Nigerian people? So this is a matter of justice. But it's in this order. First is cleanup. That's the most important and urgent thing. Second is reparation of pipelines. And third is financial compensation.
Se še ob vprašanju prihodnje umestitve Portorika na svetovnem zemljevidu. Bo ta še naprej teritorij Združenih držav Amerike, ali bo postal neodvisna država, ali pa kar 51. Država Združenih držav Amerike. Na neobvezujočem referendumu v začetku meseca se je prvič v zgodovini večina volivcev izrekla za slednje. A zakaj to ni zgodovinska odločitev, nam je razložil Louis Agari, dekan Fakultete za družbene vede v San Juanu, prestolnici otoka.
First of all, there were two different electoral processes on the same day. One was the general elections in which the Puerto Rican people, the Puerto Rican electorate, voted a pro-statehood governor or government out of office and voted a pro-commonwealth, which is the present status, government into office. That was the first process. The second process was a referendum on the political condition of Puerto Rico, which had two questions on the ballot. One was whether to maintain the current Commonwealth, whether Puerto Ricans preferred to maintain the current Commonwealth, or whether they wanted to change to a different status. And then a second part in that same ballot, which defined whether Puerto Ricans wanted to become a state of the Union, wanted to become an independent state or nation, or wanted to establish some other form of association with the United States. The end result was a shift or a vote for a expressing displeasure on the current status, and on the second part of the ballot, expressing a slight majority for statehood of those who voted. The problem is twofold. First of all, it's threefold, actually. First of all, the nature of the plebiscite or referendum accompanying a general elections, that in itself tended to complicate and to put into question the results of the referendum. Secondly, the ballot on the referendum was not a ballot that was approved with the consent of the different factions in Puerto Rico, political factions in Puerto Rico. Rather, the pro-statehood government defined the current status in a way which many supporters do not agree, and secondly, defined the other possibilities, again, in ways in which many of those who support the current status might not agree. So when you add all that together, and the fact that statehood garnered less than 50% of the voters, of the people who voted in the elections, that puts into question whether it can really be taken or interpreted as a true demand for statehood. So the premise that the Puerto Ricans voted to become a state of the Union is not fully supported by the facts.
V preteklosti je na otoku, koloniji Združenih držav Amerike, veljal močan odpor proti ameriški vladavini. Ta je na otoku prepovedala nacionalne simbole in podobno. Otočani pa so celo izvedli neuspešen atentat na predsednika ZDA Harryja Trumana. Danes je drugače. Zakaj je toliko ljudi glasovalo v prid tesnejše zveze?
More than half of the people who consider themselves Puerto Rican and identify themselves as Puerto Ricans reside in the United States. So there is a strong and powerful force to retaining political ties with the United States, because otherwise, if Puerto Rico were, for example, to choose independence, it would be fragmenting politically the Puerto Rican people into two different states. Those who would remain in the United States and those who would choose to live in Puerto Rico. So, obviously the influence, the cultural influence of the United States in Puerto Rico is very strong, as it is indeed all over the world. But Puerto Ricans have retained a sense of identity, a very strong sense of identity and pride. So the political future, I suppose, is how to develop a political formula that would be able to integrate both the influence and the benefits that flow from the relationship with the United States and the furthering and strengthening of its sense of identity.
In čemu tako slaba volilna udeležba?
People are interested in the economic situation. Puerto Rico has been in a economic recession for the past 3-4 years. Unemployment is high, the rate of labor participation is very low. So I think that the main interest of the electorate is to get something going regarding the economy and the economic growth of the island.
Južno hemisfero sta pripravila Jaša in Janković.
Globalization, to a large extent, is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
We travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half. We have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you see, what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Vsako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polobli. Točno opoldan. No!